Well, about midway through the week, I realized I should have let Dean do this sermon. Because Dean has done a lot of study on the book of Revelation. And more than I have. In fact, you taught a class on it, didn't you? The book of Revelation. I don't know why I don't remember that, but I know you did. And it took how long? That's part of a year. And I got to do it in 20 minutes. So, anyway, I'm telling you, I love the study of the book of Revelation. I'm just kind of like, oh, I'm looking at this. I have no idea what this means, and I really don't know what that means. And boy, I sure wish John, instead of just writing words, had drawn pictures so that we could have, you know, I normally like a book with pictures in it anyway. But if he had done that, and then we could have, you know, just the imagery that is in the book of Revelation. Wow, there's the imagery, there's the meanings, there are... you know, the first part of the book of Revelation has instruction in it. And by the middle of the week, I realized I was in trouble. Because I was thought I had a good plan. And normally I have 2 to 3 pages of outline. I was on my 6th page of outline, and I was halfway through the message. I thought, this is not going to work. Okay, this isn't going to work because I just have to condense and condense and condense. And so you are going to get a condensed version of the book of Revelation. In fact, what I found as I was looking through my commentaries and trying to figure out, you know, the thing that's really interesting about the book of Revelation is that no one agrees on so much of it in there. You look at one commentary and it's, oh yes, this is this. And you look at another commentary, oh yes, this is what this means. And I only made it as far as in my studies, the 7 spirits. You know? Well, what are the 7 spirits that are standing before the throne? And you know what? I'm not going to answer that for you. Some say that it's 7 archangels. Some say that it's the 7 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And there are others with other opinions. And you'll get one commentary that will say, and those who believe this are absolutely wrong. And then you go into the other commentary and it says, those who believe that are absolutely out to lunch. Actually, none of the commentaries ever use out to lunch. That's my thing, but you know, a lot of my theologians were writing around the turn of the century, and so they used a kind of old English, and I just thought I need to remodel it a little bit. So anyway, so it's a difficult book to really grasp, but I think in getting lost in all of the mystery and all the imagery and all the stuff that is in there and people disagreeing, I think one of the things that we can conclude is the book of Revelation is a mystery. We will know all about it when we're there in heaven. It'll all play out for us and we'll see all these things. But I'm gonna give you, one of my commentaries, the Bible Exposition Commentary, and I believe it was written, part of it was written by Wiersbe. I'm not sure this is his section, it wasn't accredited to him, but in that book, I found a really kind of neat list of characteristics of the book of Revelation, and I want to bring that to you in hope to just give you a bigger appreciation for that book, and also just to kind of give you just idea of the grandeur of this book and how much is contained in this book. Before we get started, though, let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you, I thank you for the praise team and for their willingness to come early to prepare and to lead us in worship. Father, you ask that as we come to your word now, that, Lord, you would open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, that we might see your truth, that we might hear them, we might apply them to our lives. Father, in this book that we are looking at this morning, Father, there is so much to learn. There is so much to see. There is so much to try to comprehend. But Lord, we cannot do it in a short setting. But Lord, I pray that this morning you would touch our heart, that we would see something in this book that we have not seen before, that we would be challenged by your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in us to reveal your truths and your thoughts to us. Father, thank you for this time in your word. Lord, speak to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, I actually followed a Pastor Dean thing. I left blanks in your bulletin. So you get to write in the blanks. And it's not because I didn't know how to spell the words that I left them blank. It's just because I just wanted something for you to do. You'll notice that there I have listed 11 characteristics for the book of Revelation. Nine of those come out of this commentary that I told you about. And two of them are mine. The two best are mine. So, actually, probably not. But anyway, let's dig into this. First of all, as we look at the book of Revelation, we will, and it's from the first verse on, it's pretty obvious, the book of Revelation is a Christ-centered book. And it talks about Jesus Christ, it talks about Jesus Christ victorious, it talks about Jesus Christ on the throne, it talks about Jesus Christ being king forever and ever. The whole book is about Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's reign. So it's a Christ-centered book. And one of the things that I thought of this morning as I was kind of looking over my notes, and it's not in here, and if you want to pencil this in, the book of Revelation is a book of victory. It's a book of victory. It tells us of the victory that is ahead of all those who know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It's a book about the victory of Jesus Christ over death, and then eventually, as he comes again, the victory of Jesus Christ over Satan and over all sin and all evil, and that's all put under his feet. And those who are with Jesus Christ are going to know a tremendous time that we're going to talk about at the very end of this. And I'm actually going to kind of breeze through quickly these 11 points because I really want to focus on the last one. And so, anyway, it's a Christ-centered book, and you will see that as you read through it. It is an open book. So what does it mean, it is an open book? If we go to the end of the book of Revelation, 22 verse 10, this is the instruction to John. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. It's a book that we need to study. It's a book that is important, not saying that there isn't a book in the Bible that is not important. But this is a book that people need to read. They need to know that this is what's going to happen. They need to know what is going to play out in the future. It's an open book. It's a book that we need to know about. It's a book that we need to study. And I think a lot of times we shy away from the book of Revelation because a lot of it, again, is this imagery that is hard to understand. you know, a lamb with seven eyes. I have trouble with that. You know, and even the description of Jesus with, you know, a sword coming out of his mouth. You know, I'm just like, it just kind of blows me away. So there's a lot of imagery in there that is a little hard to figure, but don't shy away from the book of Revelation. Get yourself a really good commentary and then work through it. It's going to take you probably longer than it took Dean to do it. But do it. It's worth it. It's a book that we need to know. Then number three, and of course, hinging on what I just said, it is a book filled of symbols. There's all kinds of symbolism in here. And there's all kinds of, you noticed, does anyone know, maybe Dean, you remember, how many times is the number seven mentioned in the book? You know, it's like 49 times the number seven is, you think the number seven is important? You know? That's why they named those fast food places. I mean, you know, 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven. Actually, I think it's a gambling. I don't know why. But anyway, it's important. And no, I'm not going to tell you the importance of seven, because I don't fully understand it. But there's seven, seven, seven. You'll see it all the time. There's seven churches he talks to. Seven candlesticks, seven stars, seven spirits, seven angels, seven. It's just all over the book. It's full of symbolism. And again, to fully get into that or understand it, you've got to get into it. The book of Revelation, the book of instruction. It's a book of instruction. I highlighted this one. Because of, if you look at the first two chapters of the book of Revelation, it's a letter to the seven churches. And in Revelation 1:19-20, this is what John was instructed to write. He said, write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars, so that you might, that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, is this. The seven stars are the angels and the seven churches, of angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, so the first part of this book is an instruction to seven churches. Now, there were more churches existing at the time, but this is the ones that God chose. And in those books, there are instructions. Those are great. The letters, we haven't done those in a long time, but we should do that. The letters to the seven churches. Because each one of those letters contains something that we need to know. It contains a problem. Most of them contain a problem that the church had. And an issue, but it also offered a solution to that. It gave instruction as to how to right the wrong. It gave us a remedy to the problem that was there. So it is a book of instruction. Number six, it is a book with a blessing. You say with a blessing, with blessings. Now, I can't go through all of the scriptures that I have listed here, but if we look in Revelation 1:3, it says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. So, and I'm just going to look at, and there's six more times where the word blessed is used in the book of Revelation. And it talks, blessed are the people who do this. Blessed are the people who do this. Blessed, and again, another word for blessed is happy are the people. And I like the one that's just in three here. You know, blessed are the people who, says three things here. It says, read it. Read its words of the prophecy. Those who hear it. And then it says, and take it to heart. Take it to heart. know, a lot of times we read God's word and we hear God's word, but does it ever make it to here? You know, there's quite a distance between here and here. Do we ever take it seriously? Do we ever apply it to our life? We need to do that. Blessed is the man who does it. So it is a book of blessings, because there are blessings spread out in the entire book of Revelation. It is a relevant book. Now, of course, that's the knock against the whole Bible. The Bible was written 2,000 years ago. How in the world can the Bible be relevant for us today? Well, it's relevant because it's talking about something, at least the book of Revelation. The Bible is relevant because it tells us what we need to know about God. And yes, it is not, the score of history is not completed yet. It's not finished yet. And the book of Revelation is showing us what is yet to happen. None of this has happened yet. Well, I shouldn't say none, but it talks about Jesus crucified and him rising from the dead. There are those parts in there. And it talks, these churches are ones that definitely existed back then. But the whole of the book is telling us what's going to happen. So yes, it's important that we know what the future holds for us. And in verse 1:1 it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. What must soon take place? That idea is woven all through the book of Revelation. What's going to happen? It's going to happen, and it says soon. Soon. Now, of course, John wrote this in somewhere around 85 A.D. 85 A.D. Yeah. So that's a long time ago, 85 A.D. So soon in God's perspective and soon in our perspective are two different things. God is outside of time, so soon doesn't mean the same to him as it does. But what the book of Revelation is pointing out to us is Jesus Christ is coming again, and it's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. Now, a lot of people have predicted that, you know, wow, he's coming. You know, ever since I remember people saying, he's coming now. All the numbers, he's coming now. He's coming now. Kissinger, he's the Antichrist. Antichrist. But anyway, they thought that. Believe it or not, there are people who thought that. But don't be fooled that it's been 2,000 years since John has recorded these letters. It is not finished, and it is going to be completed. And it is going to be completed now. I mean, we're getting closer and closer. We are 2,000 years closer to the time that the book of Revelation is going to be fulfilled. 2,000 years closer. So, I think we're getting close. I think the signs are starting to add up to, not that we know for sure when it's coming, because we're told we're not going to know when Jesus is coming again, when all this is going to be. But the signs are starting to add up. And I know people say, oh, it's been adding up for years. Well, it has, but it continues to add up. And he is coming. And so we may not know what time it is, and maybe in our lifetime it won't happen, but it's going to happen in someone's lifetime. Maybe our children. Maybe our grandchildren. Maybe tomorrow. But it's going to happen, and we are going to start seeing the events that are recorded in the book of Revelation. It's a relevant book. It is for us today. and it's for us to know what is going to happen, and I believe how to be prepared for what is going to happen. Then number 8, it is a majestic book. It is full of majesty, and a lot of that can be seen in Revelation 4, 2 through 7. I'm not going to read it, but it talks about the throne. The throne, it's mentioned a whole bunch of times in that passage of Scripture, but we get this idea of the throne of God. The throne that God sits on, the throne that Jesus Christ is going to sit on. And all the majesty and all the stuff that is going on around God's throne. It's a majestic book. It's a universal book. It's not just for the Jews. It's for everybody. Revelation 10:11, it says, then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. See, he didn't just mention one particular group of people, a race of people. It says many people, nations, languages, kings. And then in 11:9, we see the same type of thing. In the end of that, it says men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. Now, that's not a bright picture, but it's talking about, again, and it's mentioned again, that it is not just for one group of people. It is for everybody. It's a universal book. Number 10, it's a climactic book. The book of Revelation is definitely about end times. It's about, and I have it, it's really about the end of the Lord's story. The book of Revelation, at the end of the book of Revelation, there is no more lower story. The lower story and the upper story come together, and it's the upper story. It's Jesus Christ, and it's heaven, and it's all his leading, and man does not waver from that. But it is a climactic book. It tells us, and we get the imagery in 1:8, Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. It's the beginning and end. This is the end of the story. In one sense, and yet it isn't the end of the story, because this isn't where life ends. In some respects, the book of Revelation is the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new life for us. It's the beginning of a very blessed existence for us. And then the last thing that I wanted to bring out, and I know this is just a quick overview, but I didn't know how to handle this book. It is a book of promises. It's a book of promises. And I want to close with Revelation 21, 1 through 7. And I read this, and I know Dean reads this too, oftentimes at funerals, because it is a tremendous passage for those who have lost a loved one who knew the Lord, because it tells them what the loved one is experiencing, but it also is a promise of what we can all experience through Jesus Christ. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now, Dean, I never heard your explanation about the sea thing, but I need to talk to you about that. My sister-in-law is quite upset. That there is no sea. She loves the ocean. And she is, in fact, the last man marine she comes with me. Explain to me why there's no sea. I don't like that. But here's how I explain it. Heaven is going to be the most wonderful place that we can't even imagine it. If there isn't any sea, it's going to be something in its place that is even more enjoyable for us. That's just the way I look at it. That's very simple look at it, but that's the way I say it. She was not happy with my explanation, but that's okay. You know, she can do her own research next time. But anyway, so no longer can you see. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Isn't that exciting? That's our future. That's going to happen. And it may happen sooner than we think. But that's what we have to look forward for. You know, God himself will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, pain. For all this old, distorted, dysfunctional, sinful nature will be gone away with. And we're going to be living a life that we really can't even imagine. We can't even really imagine. But that's what is in store for those who know the Lord. Verse 5, then he who was seated on the throne, said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. So, and without getting really beyond my level to explain it, in a certain way, it's done. It's completed. In God's eyes, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. What a tremendous promise that we read in the book of Revelation. This is what is in store for everyone who overcomes. And the way that we overcome is connecting ourselves to Jesus Christ, who overcame for us. And by doing that, this is what we have to look forward to. None of our family members will ever die. Our loved ones will be with us when we are in heaven. We need to be there, though. We need to get there, though, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's through Jesus Christ. So no matter what we are going through now, no matter what life looks at now, this is a glimpse of what is going to be, and it may be soon, which is really exciting. It may be soon that God is going to, I don't want to say pull the plug, snap his fingers, whatever he's going to do, and flip the switch, and it's going to happen. It's going to unfold right before us. So maybe the book of Revelation is an exciting book, too. It's a book of hope. You know, there isn't an end to what you can say about the book of Revelation. It's a book of victory, as I said before. These things that aren't even listed anywhere, but yet the book of Revelation brings this to us. I'm excited about the future. Not necessarily the future on this earth. That kind of scares me. But I know that even on this earth, we can be victorious through Jesus Christ. But I'm excited about the place where all believers are going to spend eternity. Now, I was jokingly last week saying, oh, I'm going to explain to you eternity. I'm not. Because I can't explain it. It's just something that doesn't end. You know, so we are going to have a life with God. He is going to be living with us and we living with Him. He's going to take care of all of our needs. It is going to be glorious. But you need to get there. And the only way that you get there is through believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the only way that you get there. There isn't any other way. There's no back doors. There's no ultimate plans. The book of Revelation makes that pretty clear. And one of the things I didn't talk about in the book of Revelation, and you can make it as another, it's a book of disaster. Disaster. It's a book of disaster for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is the end of the story, but it isn't the end. Truly, it's the beginning for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it's been a tremendous ride looking at your word from beginning to end. And Lord, now as we are at the end of Scripture, you leave us this book that shows us a glimpse of what it's going to be like with you in glory forever and ever. Father, I pray this morning for everyone here. Lord, I pray that for all of us who hear these words this morning, that we have made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But Father, if there's anyone here this morning that has not, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and that you would draw them to you. Lord, that the future that you show in this book would be a future that they are heading to. Father, thank you for your love for us and for the story and for the future that we hold in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name.